a lot of illnesses and trials and tribulations. And a few people have said to me, how can you believe in God when such a thing happens and this happens and the other happens? But I just wanted to tell people how good can come out of something bad. And the main thing that's happened in my life is absolutely amazing, but I'll tell you that in a minute. As most of you know, I was Catholic, was baptized when I was 6 weeks old, Holy Communion when I was 7, Confirmation when I was 10, went to Mass every Sunday, and at the Catholic school, we used to have what were called Holy Days of Obligation. So that you can have the day off school, but you're obligated to go to church for different saints. And as most of you know, Catholics have got a saint for everything, absolutely everything. And on a Monday morning, I mean, I was only tiny, like 5 and 6, and on a Monday morning we had a register, not just for who'd come to school, but for who'd gone to church on a Sunday. And if you hadn't gone to church on a Sunday, for whatever reason, well, they didn't accept reasons, you were caned. These were tiny children, and we used to go to confession every week, then it was changed to every month, and then it was twice a year, and then it was, oh well, you only have to go to confession if you commit a mortal sin. And so for years I just thought something wasn't right, and Catholics are ruled by the Pope and the Vatican and Rome. And as I got older, I realised that it just wasn't right. There was something not right about this whole thing. And I've suffered from depression and anxiety most of my life, and so did my mum. But I didn't realise that my mum was actually ill. She didn't like me when I was little, my mum didn't. She wanted a boy. So my aunties and my granny looked after me, and then of course my brother was born when I was 4, and he was always my mum's favourite. Sam smiling. But I loved him anyway, and as I said, I love my granny in Ireland, and I spent every holiday with her, and she used to come and see us as well. But when I was 19, the depression just got hold. I took an overdose, and I was in hospital for 3 months. My mum had me committed because she was so ashamed of what I'd done that she didn't want to have anything to do with me. Never came to visit me. And when I came out, she didn't speak to me for almost 6 months. But that's when the peace really descended on me, because God had brought me through this horrible dark time, and I was out the other side, and I was alive, you know, and I got alive and all my life in front of me. And I went for counselling with a Catholic priest who was also a psychologist, and he was lovely, and we talked, and it did do me good. But at the end of every session we had to pray for forgiveness, because I'd committed a mortal sin, and that sin would go with me to when I face God, and God would decide whether I went to heaven or not. And even after that I thought, well, a sin's a sin. How can some sins be worse than others? Because if you've done something bad, you've done something bad. And then my first husband was a really good Irish Liverpudlian Catholic. All his family went to church, communion every Sunday, and, you know, really, as I say, really good. He used to drink in the Crown in Burslem with the priests from St. Joseph's Church. He'd go down to the church and help them. You know, any time they wanted anything, he was there. And he'd come home and knock me around the house. And that's something else that I thought, well, no, this isn't right. He can't be a true Christian, because hasn't God told us to look after each other and love one another like he does. As it happens, Peter died in a car crash, and it was in the early hours of the morning. There was no other cars on the road, and the police just couldn't understand how he crashed into this tree, and him and the backseat passenger were killed. And I found out through the police going there, when the police went to where he was living, he got, because we'd separated by this time, he got photographs of me and my eldest son spread out on a table. And his friend later told me that he was planning on coming to see me to sort me out, whatever that meant. And I know you shouldn't thank God for or blame him when things happen, but it made my life such a lot easier because Peter wasn't in this world, because there was no threats. And then I found out I was pregnant, so I was having my second son, Richard. And I just know that he would have caused so much trouble in my life that I just wouldn't have been able to live it properly. Anyway, things went on, and you know, my boys grew up and they were healthy. Then when Richard was about two, I started passing out, lost a lot of weight, and I was diagnosed with a condition called essential thrombocythemia, which was an overactive bone marrow. But they controlled it with drugs. I was fine, carried on working. Hardly anybody knew that I'd got any kind of condition at all. Just carried on. Because when you've got God by your side, you don't need anyone else. You just don't. Because he just guides us. He guides us through all the bad things as well as the good things. And then a few years later, I became pregnant, but the drugs that I was on for my condition killed the baby. And it had 100% heart and lung deformities. And this was another time when my mum, for whatever reason, wouldn't speak to me. I don't know why, but she wouldn't. She didn't speak to me for about 6 months. But I still felt this peace. I still felt that. I suppose it's a bit like a child falling down and hurting the knee. And even though it's painful, when you set them on your knee and give them a hug, you make it better. And I suppose that was the same sort of thing. And so about the year 2000, after that I had to have an hysterectomy after the baby died. And then a few years after that, the scar tissue from the hysterectomy wrapped itself around my bowel, and it got infected, and I had to have a bowel resection. And they called the family to the hospital. Well, I went to hospital and they sent me home and said I was constipated. And then I was really ill at home. Sam came to me at home, and they took me into hospital and they did a bowel resection, and I was really ill for months and months. But then when you're ill and you're thinking about life, as you do when you're still, you've got no time to rush around and not worry about what's going on, or not worry, but not see what's going on in your life. And it gives you time with God and Jesus. Because although people come and see you, they're not with you all the time, and God is always there. Every second of every day, 24 hours a day, he's there. And even if he doesn't speak to us and doesn't give us signs all the time. He's still there. And if you ask him, and if you listen, and you watch, you see the signs and you hear the signs. And it might come from something absolutely ridiculous, like an advert on the television. Anything can be a sign from God. But we've got to look and we've got to listen for these signs, and he will give them to us. Then I got through that and I was okay. And then in 2011, I had breast cancer. And I had to have about 3 or 4 operations. It took half my breast away, and then we found that it was still there, took the rest away. And then I had a reconstruction. And again, it kept going wrong, and I had to keep having different operations. And Megan likes this bit. This is a funny bit. When they put the first prosthetic in, they take the muscle from your back and bring it round and sew it on. And they sewed the nerve from your back onto the implant. So every time I moved my arm, my boob was moving up and down. So they had to take me back into hospital then. I forgot there's children here, Jim, sorry. Took me back into hospital, sorted it out, and that was all right. But then a couple of years after, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which is like a muscle and bone pain, and extensive nerve damage, which is caused from all the operations that I've had and from the chemotherapy, from the treatment. Then I was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and there was 2 things I always said that I couldn't cope with, and that was, one of them was Parkinson's, and the other was a colostomy bag, my bowel. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's, I got through it. And I got through it with these ladies here, with Margaret, with Sam, with Megan and Jim and Sheila. And it came, so it wasn't me, it didn't define me. It was just something that I'd got, and I got to carry on with it, got to carry on with my life. And then in 2018, I had another bowel resection, and I had to have a colostomy bag. And you know what? I did it, and I coped with it, and I am coping with it. And it's no big deal. And babies are being born. Margaret knows, babies are being born with the bowel outside the body. They've got to have them done, and they cope. And the reason I cope is because I've got Jesus in my life. It says he's there, he's by my side all the time. And I know that I'll always cope. Then I was diagnosed with emphysema because my breathing wasn't very good, and asthma and COPD, like Daryl will know. And that's come under control, and this thing that they gave me that I have to breathe into is amazing. And then in 2018, after the operation, I was diagnosed with myelofibrosis, which is bone marrow cancer. And the diagnosis was 3 to 5 years. And I remember I came in this church, we were sitting in the other room, and I was telling Sheila, and she said, "Listen, you'll go when you're ready. When he says, I'm taking you home, I'll bring you home." And those words stuck with me, and it's so true. It doesn't matter who says what or what anybody says about you, he will take you home when you're ready. When he wants you there, he'll take you home. It's incredible, absolutely incredible, because I know that he's always there. And it says in the Bible, I was going to read part, you know, bits from the Bible, but there's just so many. And over 300 times in the Bible it says, God says, do not fear, for I am with you. Thank you very much for listening.